All right, let's take our Bibles this morning and turn back to the Old Testament book of Joshua, chapter 24, Joshua chapter 24, for the message this morning. Joshua chapter 24. I want to read some familiar verses to you. This is Joshua at the end of his life, and he is, this is like his farewell song. This is Joshua gathering the people around and giving them one last challenge. He knows that the day of his departure is at hand, and he has fought a good fight and kept the faith and finished his course. And so he calls everybody together and gives his farewell sermon, so to speak. And a powerful sermon it is. If you'll look at verse 14, we'll start reading there. And verse 14 says, "Now therefore," and this is Joshua speaking to the people. He said, "Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods," notice that, small g and plural, "and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And the people answered and said, "God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up out and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way wherein we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites, which dwelt in the land. Therefore, we also serve the Lord, for he is our God." And Joshua said unto the people, "You cannot serve the Lord, for he is an holy God. He is a jealous God, and he will not forgive your transgressions nor sins if ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods. Then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he hath done you good." And the people said unto Joshua, "Nay, but we will serve the Lord." Now, when I started preparing the message, and I got peace about this passage of Scripture, and I knew it was Father's Day, and so my design was to preach a Father's Day sermon. But as the sermon began to develop, I realized that it was not necessarily a message that was directed at fathers, although there are several things here that apply, but that it was a message that was more or less a message on the home. And so I want to speak to you this morning on this Father's Day, a message that I've entitled, "The Influence of the Home." The influence of the home. Let's pray together and we'll ask the Lord to bless. You do realize that your home influences your family. You do realize that. That's the direction I want you to think on this morning. Let's pray together. And then the message. Now, our Father, thank you so much for your word. And I pray you will bless the preaching of your word this morning. I need your help as I speak. And so I pray that you will fill me with your spirit and help me to say what needs to be said this morning. And Father, I pray that your word will lodge in our hearts. Help us to hear and to understand and to hide your word in our hearts so that we won't sin against you. And Lord, give us resolve this morning. I pray for every dad in this room, and may every dad realize that those in his home, those children and his wife, that by his walk with you, they are influenced. And Father, if that dad does not walk with you, the family is influenced. Help us to see the influence of the home and how important it is for the high priest in that home to know the Bible and know truth and obey the word of the living God. So, Father, help us this morning to see these things and give us understanding, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. As I have taught you on a number of occasions in the last 20 years, God established with his own hand and blessed the institution of the home. Long before the institution of government, God gave us the institution of the home. Long before the institution of the church, God gave mankind the institution of the home. The institution which bears its identity in and from heaven itself is the home which God established, and that institution should not be altered by men. Let the Bible define the home. The Supreme Court has no business sticking its nose in the Bible and redefining what classifies a marriage. The Bible is clear on that issue. Our country has been following the biblical pattern for all these years, and now probably this week we're going to find out whether or not America survives. We're going to find out this week whether or not we're in trouble with God again. We're going to find out probably before the week is over. The matter of supreme importance to the welfare of any nation is not the excellence of its schools, and it's not who sits in the highest elected offices of local, state, and national governments, but the most important matter to the welfare of any nation is the quality and the strength of its homes. The home may be in a tent. It may be a rental property. It may be an apartment somewhere. Or it may be a mansion that sits on top of a hillside. Where it is not the issue. It is what it is that is that really matters. A preacher of the past wisely said, "The home is a fold that shelters the family from the wolves of lust, strife, and unbelief. It is a harbor in which souls anchor and abide secure in the storms of life." You see, folks, a home, a Christian home, is a safe haven where husband and wife submit themselves one to another in the fear of God. Where parents rear their children in God's nurture and in God's admonition. It is a place where children obey their parents in the Lord, and where God's word has a place, and where love grows its orchard that is filled with the sweetest of fruits. Do you want to reform America? Do you want to reform our country? Well, if you do, it won't do you any good to mount your soapbox and try talking problems to death. Just go back to the home. That's where you're going to fix America. Don't go to your computer and become a blogger and just live your life for likes and dislikes at the bottom of the screen. No, go to the home. Go to the home. There is no reformation that will work in America until America goes back to the home. If these, you know, we've been hearing in Baltimore lately. We saw all the trouble down there with the riots and so on, and that focused the attention upon the inner cities across America. And brethren, listen, it's in Baltimore, it's in Philadelphia, it's in Washington D.C., it's in New York City. It's in San Francisco, it's in Houston, it's in Miami, it's in Kansas City. It doesn't matter what big city you're talking about in America, the problems are the same. And the reason that our country is having these problems can simply be traced to the breakdown of the home. Pure and simple. If these mothers in our inner cities would stop having 12 children with 12 different fathers, but would marry and establish a home, and then if our government would stop enabling this behavior and we establish godly homes across America in our inner cities, our nation would see reform. We'd see the reform that is needed. The destruction of the home has been America's downfall. For as the home goes, so goes the church. And as the church goes, so goes the nation. Now Joshua said in verse 15, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now notice what he said. He said, as for me and my house. You see, folks, Joshua was the head of his house. He did not check with Mrs. Joshua to see if it was okay if he and his family served the Lord. He made the decision that they were going to serve the Lord. He did not ask for permission to lead his family. He led his family. He was the spiritual head of his household. And he simply made the decision as high priest in his home that his family was going to serve God. Now, I want to point out a couple of basic little principles that I think are found in these verses that I read. Let me give you just three little quick things that I think are right here in this text, right on the surface for everyone to see. The first thing I want you to notice is this. How you serve the Lord is a choice that you must make. Now, that's just about as obvious as anything in this passage of Scripture. Joshua said to the people, I'm not going to tell you how to live your life. I'm going to tell you, though, you need to choose how you're going to live your life. I'll tell you how I'm going to live my life. I'll tell you my choice. And I'm asking you to make your choice. Choose you this day. And he very quickly responded and said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. But choose you this day what you're going to do. You know, one thing is for sure, folks, we make choices every single day of our lives. Do we not? You made a choice this morning about whether or not you'd come to church. That was a decision you made. You chose to come. We choose every day. We choose where we want to live. We choose what kind of car we drive. We choose what we're going to eat every day. And of course, as sinners, we don't always make the right choices, do we? We know that to be true. We might choose to have ice cream when we should have had a salad. And you know, we don't get too far along in life before we start to understand that there are good choices that we can make in life and there are bad choices that we can make in life. We also soon learn that there are consequences to the decisions that we make in life. You know, if you choose to live on junk food, you're going to pay the price with poor health. I never will forget the first time I went to the doctor when I was so sick. And that doctor said, I want you to see a nutritionalist. And I went into the nutritionalist and she had all this homework for me to do. And it said, it showed all these different, all this stuff, and I filled it all out. And I took it back, and she said, well, I can tell you right now, this has got to stop. I said, what, eating? And she said, no, not eating, but eating this and eating this and eating this. That's got to stop. And I thought, wow, I will never be able to give up my ice cream. I mean, that's a choice that you make. And if you choose to live off of junk food, then you're going to pay the price with poor health. Two of my little grandkids, Grayson, he's 2 years old, and Brennan, he's 3 years old, and they just cannot understand why they can't have M&Ms before dinner. I mean, they're right there in the jar. And they'll walk in, and bless their hearts, they're hungry when they come in, and the hunger pangs are saying, feed me, and they don't want to sit down at the table and eat the roast beef and mashed potatoes and the green beans. They want the M&Ms that are in the jar on the counter. And they can't understand why they can't have the M&Ms. But you see, as we go through life, we learn that there are consequences to the choices that we make. Now, folks, the home is neglected more than anything in our society today. And the end result is we've got a nation dealing with the consequences of neglecting our homes. The home should be a place where the ABCs of the gospel are first learned and memorized. Do you want to put a new spark in the church? Then first put a spiritual spark in your own home. But folks, here's the problem. The devil has created too much competition for the home today. You know, the average young person can quote you the lyrics to the latest Beyoncé song, but they can't quote the Lord's Prayer. They can quote the lyrics to Taylor Swift's latest album, but they cannot quote John 3:16 to you. They are plopped down in front of an electronic babysitter instead of nurtured and admonished in love. Dads are too busy. Mom is too exhausted. And the choices that are made in the average home in America today are what's causing our homes to suffer. Home ought to be a sanctuary from the world. It ought to be a place where the choices that are made bolster the family and draw the family closer to God and closer to one another and not feed the flesh and foster a worldly heart. So let me ask you, Christian, would you make a choice right here this morning that you're not going to neglect your home? Would you make that decision this morning? Joshua did. Joshua did. And make no mistake about it, folks, the world that we live in today contains all of the same elements as the world in Joshua's day. The same gods beckoned him and his family as what call out to you and your family. Same gods. The same evil forces that sought his children are the same as what are seeking after your children. But Joshua made a choice to serve the Lord. He made a decision. Now, I want to digress for just a moment. And I know that I run the risk with what I'm about to say of angering some people. Well, I'm going to take that risk. But I think something needs to be said. I love you. I love your kids. And I don't want to see you make a mistake that's going to cost you down the road. I don't want to stand at the judgment seat of Christ and have somebody point a finger at me and say, Pastor, why didn't you say something? So I'm going to say it. And I think it needs to be heard. If you have not listened to anything I've said for the last umpteen years, would you listen to this? This is 38 years of being a pastor speaking. This is 38 years of studying the Bible and preparing sermons and observing and noticing. So give me a little bit of credit. I might have learned a little bit of something along the way. Here's my advice. If you leave the Church of the Open Door, where the Bible is held supreme. Now, not one time in 20 years have you ever come in here and I said to you, open your Carroll County Times. Not once. Not one time have you ever walked in here and heard me say, open your Reader's Digest. No, it's always open your Bible. And we reaffirmed in 2011 that we were going to stick with the Bible, the King James Bible. We reaffirmed all that in our Constitution. So if you leave the Church of the Open Door where the Bible is held supreme and you go to one of these new, fangled, emerging churches. Now let me say that word slow. Emerging. What they want to do is emerge the church out of the old church. You with me on that? And they call it the emerging church. What they do is they disallow anything that would make you think that you're still in the old church. No pews. No suit and tie. No Bible. No truth. It's whatever goes, goes. It's all based on feel good. It's all based on music. And it's not godly music. You folks do realize that just like with everything, there is good and there is bad. There's good music and there's bad music. You say, well, I've never really studied music. You don't have to study music to know that there's good music and there's bad music. It does not take a PhD in music theory to understand that there is good music and bad music. And so, if you leave here and go to one of these churches because it's cool, and it is cool, it's what the world's doing. The world is doing it. And if you go to one of these where you only have a Sunday morning obligation and where the truth is up for sale and the music makes you wiggle and swing for Jesus, that is a choice. Listen to me now. That is a choice that you make. And you mark my word, it will come back to haunt you when your children grow up. Now you mark my word on that. You will wake up one day and find some teenagers living in your house that you don't know anymore. You will wake up and find yourself shattered by the choices that they are making. You better think about the foundation that you're laying in the lives of your children by having them in one of these pseudo, quasi, sorta, kinda, almost a church type churches. Now that rattles cages, doesn't it? But you better listen to me. I didn't just fall off the pumpkin wagon last night. I got a little bit of experience in this matter. I raised three of my own. And I'm saying, choose you this day. The choices you make today will determine the future of your children tomorrow. Can I give you another example? Let me give you another illustration. Where your children go off to college, how many were here, they were in the youth group, they were involved, they believed in soul winning, they ran the buses, they did everything, they worked neighborhood Bible time, they ran the counselors at summer stomp, they were in with both feet, went off to Bible college, came back the end of their freshman year, and you didn't even recognize them. Who are you? What'd you do with my kid? And all of a sudden, pastor's got two heads. You know, anything got two heads is a monster. You realize that, right? Pastor's got two heads. He's crazy. He's an old fuddy-dud. He doesn't know what's going on. Better be careful. The choices you make today are going to impact your children tomorrow. Stand with the truth. Joshua said, me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Period. Case closed. Make up your mind, you're going to serve the Lord. Say, Pastor, you got two more points? Yep, here's number two. Got to move on. Number two, I want you to notice Joshua's parental authority was clearly expressed. He said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. In other words, Joshua was the authority in his home. Now again, notice, he didn't look over to Mrs. Joshua and get permission to make such a bold claim. I got saved when I was 16 years old, and my dad got saved 1 month after I did. After my dad got saved, we went to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, without fail. Why? Because he said so. Hey, Dad, build your home around the church. Build your home around Carroll Christian Schools. You say, but Pastor, we homeschool. Amen. I'm all for homeschooling. I have no problem with that. But if you don't homeschool, use Carroll Christian Schools. You better be careful where you put your children to be taught, especially nowadays. I read just this week that some of these schools are around the country, they're having a transgender day. And the boys are dressing like girls and the girls are dressing like boys and they're coming to school and spending the day cross-dressing. What is wrong with our country? Well, it's being the inmates are running the asylum. That's what's wrong. Build your home with the help of the church and with Carroll Christian Schools. Train a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart. You say, but Pastor, little Junior doesn't want to come on Sunday night. Folks, that's what I'm saying. Who's the authority in your home? You see, today, parental authority has not disappeared. It's only changed hands. Children are now telling the parents what to do. Years ago, a parent came to see me one day after school to complain that his child had to serve detention for being late a number of days for school. And at that time, there was a rule. If you're late so many days, you got to do 30 minutes of detention. So that would have messed up the parent's schedule. So the parent came in to complain and said, it's not fair. And I said, the rule's the rule. The rule was in place at the beginning of the year. You knew the rule. You signed up knowing the rule. But it's not fair. I said, why? Well, I'm the one that drives, not the child. I said, okay, then Thursday, you got detention for 30 minutes. Not a problem. But I guarantee told you one thing, somebody's doing detention in this thing. Who's the authority in your home? You see, in God's design, the father is the spiritual leader in the home. I know all we're hearing these days is about equality. Equality this, equality that. That's the new mantra for the progressives. Equal this and equal that. Equal rights and equal pay and equal opportunity. And the sodomites want equal this and the transgenders want equal. But brethren, let me tell you something. The God of heaven says that the Father is the high priest in the home. The high priest represented the people and went before God with a sacrifice for their sin. Everybody knew who he was. He was chosen and appointed for that position. And in your home, Dad, you are the chosen one to represent your family before the Lord. Lead your children Dad. Lead your children to Christ. Take time with each one to make sure that they understand the gospel and that they have a personal relationship with Christ. And if while growing up they have a problem, they need to know that there's a high priest in their home who can point them and lead them in the direction they ought to go. They need to know that there's a high priest who knows the God of heaven and can get in touch with heaven and get an answer when it's needed. And then number three, look at the 14th verse. Joshua called for sincerity and truth in our homes. Verse 14, sincerity and truth. And you know, this starts with the way we deal with each other. Love must be professed and also possessed. Without love in the home, no amount of luxurious furnishings or toys or gadgets or technology or things can make a happy home. But with love, a one-room cabin or a two-room third-floor apartment can be a home. A home is where love should shine its brightest. And you know, I never doubted my parents' love, never. I thank God for that. I was thinking about it this morning driving in, and I thought, oh my, how thankful I am that I had two loving parents. They loved me, and I knew it. There was no doubt about it. We had this boy in our neighborhood, and his home was a battlefield, and everybody in the community knew it. His parents eventually divorced, and all three of those kids just went nuts, turned out like animals. And one day when we were about 11, 12 years old, we all met and played basketball after school. It was a Friday, and we were playing basketball, and he looked over and he said, "Can I eat at your house tonight?" And I said, "Well, sure, why?" He said, "I don't want to go home." I said, "Why?" He said, "It's Friday." And he said, I don't want to go home. He said, "Can I stay at your house tonight?" I said, "Well, let me go ask my mom." The basketball court was just a short ways from our house. So I ran to the house, went inside, and I asked mom, "Can he eat dinner and can he sleep over tonight?" And mom said, "Sure, that's not a problem." So I ran back and told him, "Yeah, everything's cool." And we went ahead and played basketball. And when we broke to go eat dinner, we were walking back to the house. And he said, "You're so lucky to have a good family." And I said, "Yeah, I realize that. I understand that." He said, "I don't want to go home. That's why I want to stay at your house tonight. I don't want to go home." I said, "Well, what's going on?" He said, "My parents fight constantly." And he said, "I don't want to be around my dad. My dad doesn't love me." I turned and looked at him. I could not believe what I was hearing. I said, "But wait a minute, he's your dad." He said, "Yeah, but he doesn't love any of us. If he loved us, he wouldn't be as mean as he is. If he loved us, he wouldn't drink like he does. He wouldn't fight with mom like he does." And he said, "I don't even want to be there." And I was only 11, 12 years old. But when we got home and walked in the door, my dad was just getting in from work and getting ready to sit down for dinner. And my mom was slaving away trying to get dinner on the table. And I remember walking in, seeing my dad, going over, hugging my dad. My dad looking at me like, "What in the world? Are you sick? What's wrong with you?" And then I went over and hugged my mother. I was just so thankful that I had parents that loved me. You see, folks, there's a vast difference between a house and a home. A house is built by human hands, but a home is built by human hearts. A house is built by physical things that a carpenter uses, but a home is built by invisible things that the Spirit of God uses. Money buys the material for a house, but the elements that go into the making of a home are priceless, far above rubies. A house may be destroyed, but no power on earth, not a fire, not an earthquake, not a flood, not a storm anywhere can destroy a home. The only thing that can destroy a home is the death of love. And when love dies, that home dies. When love dies, the home is left in shambles and ruin. And all the material riches and all the success and the pleasures of living cannot supply what is lost once love dies. Your home today will determine, listen to me, Dad, your home today will determine what your children will be like tomorrow. Would you take a minute right now and just get a mental image right now of your children? Get a mental image, Dad, of your spouse. And now get a mental image of yourself. As Joshua said to the people on this day, I now say to you, do you see yourself? Do you see your kids? Do you see your wife? Well, I now say to you, choose you this day whom ye will serve. Choose you this day. Are you going to serve the Lord and be blessed and be happy? Or are you going to serve the gods of this world and live an unhappy life? Unhappy because your kids grow up and, man, go figure, they make the same foolish mistakes that you made. Amazing, isn't it? Choose, Dad. Choose. Choose, Mom. Choose. Hey, teenager, choose. Choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. That ought to be what every one of us repeats. May God give us strength to make the right choices. Amen.